Now, trolls. Once upon a time, they were nothing more than hiding under a bridge of the Three Billy Goats Gruff as they walked over it. All those cute little bright-haired dolls that were big in the 90s. But now, they've taken on a much more serious and sinister meaning. The online world has, for some, turned into an evil and aggressive domain that unfortunately has migrated into the real world for some, of fear and danger from real-life people, and is most certainly not just words on a screen. Well, Ginger Gorman has bravely taken on the world of the troll and attempted to reveal what life is like for not only the trolls themselves, but the people that they target in a brand new book called Troll Hunting, and she joins us on 2SER this afternoon. Hello, Ginger.
Good afternoon, Mick. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us here at 2SER. Troll Hunting, firstly, has been named the nonfiction book of the month by booksellers Angus and Robertson, and you've also ordered a reprint already. Congratulations on the success.
Thank you very much.
What's the outpouring of support been like? Hopefully no hate, lots of love.
Well, look, I do regularly get trolled a bit, and actually when we announced the cover in particular, I got a lot of trolling, which
the
is
cover.
Quite, yeah, I think it was before anybody had read it, and so a bunch of trolls decided to have a go at me. It was actually quite amusing, to tell you the truth, because how stupid can you be to troll a cyber hate expert? So, and I had been talking to trolls for years,
yeah.
You know, so what I decided to do, I was getting all these, disgusting tweets saying, you know, you're a subhuman, filthy C-word. And I was basically screenshotting them and saying, am I a filthy, disgusting C-word? Buy my book and find out. So I basically fed them into my publicity machine, and it stopped the trolling straight away, because that wasn't what they wanted. Trolls want to hurt and upset you. They don't want to help sell your book.
Oh, I see. Yes. They didn't want to buy another publicity. But you
no,
know.
It was like the perfect revenge, actually, after years and years of, being a cyber hate target.
Yeah.
So, look, it has been amazing. I mean, it was a very traumatic book to write.
Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned in your introduction that the book is talking about the real-life consequences of predator trolling and cyber hate, The book actually links trolling to terrorism. It links trolling to murder. It links trolling to domestic violence. It links trolling to incitement to suicide. And so, you know, the serious consequences are extreme. And, they can't really be underestimated. And so it was very dark to write. And I'm actually having specialised counselling for trauma and journalism after writing it. So it's actually quite amazing, the support I'm getting now from the public. It's actually just really joyous to witness.
Well, I read an article recently that we should stop using the word troll, because it does speak, like, as you say, of something a lot more serious regarding the
That's
people that
right.
are perpetrating this.
And so what I did with the book, Mick, is I realized that, you know, there is a huge difference between someone having a stab at me because they don't like an article I've written to threatening to kill my children and, you know, perhaps forcing me out of my home and inciting me to suicide. Those are really different behaviors. And I, you know, really do believe there is a place for online pranks and for, cohesive and interesting differences of opinion online. That's one thing. So I started calling this type of behavior predator trolling, whereby individuals are setting out to cause real life harm to the targets, and they're doing it in a really orchestrated way. And so to me, that is really different. And I want to start using that term to define this, because at the moment, if you're a cyber hate target and you go down to the police station, you say, I'm being trolled, they almost just laugh it off. You know, they say, get off the internet, love. When in fact, as I've just said, some of this behavior is linked to incredibly serious consequences.
And that's the thing. I really would be highlighted by your book, because you've actually spoken to a number of victims of trolling. And
I have, yeah. And I mean, look, I can't sort of overstate this. Like, for example, there's an Australian journalist called Sherelle Moody. She runs the Red Heart campaign, which is an anti-domestic violence campaign, and she's relentlessly trolled. It's hard to sort of quantify, but her horse was recently killed as a result of cyber hate. Her dog has been given acid as a result of cyber hate. So you can see that these things are very real life. This is not people mucking around and just disagreeing with people's opinions. And also, you know, what people say is, oh, just block and delete. You know, that is not going to stop your horse getting killed. So these are different behaviors, and we need to pay attention to this. And I would also say that what when I was researching the book and people, I was looking at these really extreme case studies as a cohort, so not individually, and I was trying to work out, you know,
what are the patterns? Yeah.
Yeah, what are the patterns here in the, like, what's happening to cyber hate targets? And they were saying to me, you know, they were really describing the destruction of their lives and how much money it was costing them. And, you know, they were describing having lost multiple jobs and having to move house and having to go to court. And I started realizing, you know, like, this is costing people a lot of money. So I commissioned the Australia Institute to do nationally representative polling about the incidence of cyber hate in Australia and also about the cost to the economy. Mm. So the incidence is that 39% of Australians have been a cyber hate target, 44% women and 34% men. So it's 8.8 million Australians have, adult Australians have experienced some kind of online harassment. Some of that is more extreme, obviously. And the cost to the economy is $3.7 billion, the aggregate cost. So that's just taking into account sick days and time off work. So in actual fact, if you added all those other costs, like cost to the courts, cost to the police, cost to move house, childcare costs, like all the other costs, it would be a lot more. So we're not talking about a minor thing here. We're talking about something massive.
Yeah. It is huge. And as the internet is so ubiquitous right now, we can't really escape these things. People might say, just get off the internet or like you say, block. But you can't not, you know, live your life like you want to just because of these people.
I mean, exactly. And that to me is one of the most ignorant things that people say. It's like saying, don't drive on the roads. In fact, the United Nations has recognized internet access as a human right. So it's impossible for us to just live our lives, our social lives, but also things like banking, access to information, connectivity in all different ways. So instead of blaming the victims, we actually need to fix the system, like call social media companies to account, expect them to have a duty of care to their users, train up the police, resource the police to investigate these crimes and get them to understand the seriousness of it. But yeah, I mean, I think you were also just about to ask me a question, but I went off on a different tangent about the actual trolls themselves and the syndicate.
Well, that's right. It was one of those things that I was quite interested in. Funnily enough, I sort of hark back to South Park episodes where they were talking about these trolling syndicates. They all get together and they target certain people.
Absolutely.
For no other reason than I can understand, then maybe they see them as a easy target or some sort of, they get some sort of gratification from it. But what did you find out in those sort of circles?
Look, I mean, the thing about the trolls that was fascinating to me in the first instance was that they weren't hard to find and that they really wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
And that is because they see themselves as a culture, you know, it's a real identity. And basically these guys are, it's mainly men, it's not exclusively men, but it's mainly young white men aged sort of 18 to 35. There is some diversity in there, but that's largely the cohort. And they are operating in big international syndicates. So the way I talk about this is it's almost like bikie gangs. You know, those syndicates have names. They have presidents and vice presidents.
Oh, wow.
And they sometimes swap syndicates. And they're very organized. It's not, and they often actually even document the things that they do on wikis and stuff. So this is not like a lonely guy in his basement, loser, who's by himself. There's one guy in the book like that, but mainly they are not. And mainly they were incredibly bright, actually very well educated. So none of the things that you're expecting, really.
Yeah.
And an incredibly marginalized cohort as well. So from quite often poor or neglected backgrounds, and they feel really left out economically and socially and marginalized. And so this kind of behavior is their way of almost getting back at the world.
So the motive is no more than just to try and revenge or almost.
Partly, yeah. I mean, so the research is that trolling correlates really strongly with what they call the dark tetrad of personality traits. So it's like psychopathy, Machiavellianism, narcissism, and sadism. But sadism is the strongest link. So what that means is they take pleasure out of hurting other people and they go out to do that. But that's like, you know, that's a generalization.
Yeah.
Some of the trolls I spoke to, for example, were political trolls, and they were not trolling on the basis of hatred like gender or race or disability. They were just trolling around political and social beliefs.
Mm.
But others were very clearly, like one troll, Mark, who was really very psychopathic. I've been in contact with him for a long time. He really does want to hurt people, and he tries to incite people to suicide and things like that. So he's a really nasty character, and he tries to find vulnerable people. So he tries to find people that he considers marginalized, so people who maybe like are rape victims or the families of people who've died by suicide. So really a nasty piece of work. So those are two really different ways that trolling is approached. So I would never in a million years try to say it's one thing, but there are some kind of common threads in there, definitely.
Did you end up talking to trolls, some of your own trolls, who you then you talked to personally?
Mainly I didn't. The man who incited the hatred against me and my family in 2013, I did email him to try to interview him for the book.
Yeah.
He is a blogger and journalist, quite high profile actually in the United States, called Robert Stacey McCain. And he used to be, I think, deputy editor of one of the big conservative papers, the Washington Times.
Right.
And he incited this hatred against me by blogging against me on the basis of something that I had written when I worked for the ABC. And look, he initially was quite happy to be in contact with me and seemed open to dialogue, but he wrote me some accusatory emails and things, but he never actually came through with the goods. He never actually did an interview with me for the book. So he's quoted in the book. Some of his emails to me are quoted, but unfortunately, he wouldn't actually jump up with the goods, which I think is really interesting, isn't it? That someone is prepared to incite such hatred and fear against you and your family, but then actually won't be interviewed
when it comes down
to it. You know, that says a lot, I think.
It does.
And the same with Charlotte Dawson's trolls. She's a case study in the book, obviously. She was a TV personality who died by suicide in 2014. And, you know, she had a very complicated life, but trolls have been kind of implicated in her decision to take her own life. And I tried to get a lot of her trolls to talk to me, and they just wouldn't. So that's interesting as well, I think. It is.
Well, look, it sounds like a very, very interesting book, maybe quite heavy as well, but it's also very revealing, I think, and very probably one of the things you can't put down. So I'm really looking forward to reading it myself.
Thank you so much. It's not light reading, but people are saying it reads like a thriller. So I don't know if that's compensation or not.
But also congratulations for launching the book officially in Canberra last night at the amazing National Library. A place that I know holds quite a special place for you as well. So
yes, it really does. And the support was incredible. It makes me quite thinking about it. There were 300 people there, and it was an absolute sellout crowd. And it was really a big moment for me. So
fantastic.
Thank you, Mick.
No worries. Thank you for joining us on 2SER. Troll Hunting is out now through Hardy Grant Publishing. I'm sure you can find it in every bookshop you can find it in. But, and good luck with it all, and good luck with the future endeavors.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. Ginger Gorman right there. She is the author of Troll Hunting, Inside the World of Online Hate and Its Human Fallout. A very, very interesting read, I'm sure.